Madam Clerk says it's the time. We'd like to welcome you to the regularly scheduled meeting of the Cure Beach Town Council. And I hope we have a great turnout tonight. We're going to be here a while, so everybody get comfortable. And with that being said, Eric?
Yes, sir.
Wow, there you are. Excuse me. Eric is going to have our invitation for us. He is one of all the Withrow's World Traveler Bus Tour aficionados and retired ministers.
Let's pray. Great God, you've given to us the responsibility of governing your people. And we thank you for men and women who have taken on that responsibility seriously. So as they deliberate and think and plan and put into budgetary considerations all that is before them this evening, may your insight, your wisdom, your compassion, and your love be upon them. And when times get difficult, may patience rule. We ask all of these blessings in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You all stand with me, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Amen, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to the consent agenda, and Chuck, you had a correction for the minutes?
Yes, the minutes of December 5th. December 5th, third item, second paragraph, where it says Commissioner Hagler received one vote, Keener, for. And Commissioner Keener received four votes. And those four votes were Lambert, Keener, so I got two votes that night, so there must be a mistake there. That should be Hagler instead of Keener.
Hagler? Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm not allowed two votes. Although I try.
We give you wide latitude because of your age.
Didn't take long, did it? I think that's a reference.
Okay. Any other changes? Do I have a motion to adopt consent agenda?
Can we pull out item 7, the job descriptions? That's the questions I want to answer.
Revised job descriptions. I would be in favor of pulling those out and waiting until we do the retreat to discuss those in depth with Nancy and in Arlen. Do I have a motion to pull these and postpone those to midterm?
I'll move that.
Move
to approve the consent agenda with the exception of item 7.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Nancy, if you'll pull those, we appreciate it.
Okay.
Next, we have the adoption of the agenda. And are there any changes? Now, Emily, you said that. Tiffany, are you here yet?
Yes.
Where are you at? Oh, okay. So you did make it from Wilmington.
I did.
Okay. Emily was giving us an update, but you weren't going to be here. Any other changes? Anything to be added or taken? All right. With that being said, do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. Now, our first presentation will be by Carrie Lewis with Lanier Park. Carrie, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Mayor Pro Tem, Commissioners, my name is Carrie Lewis. I am the General Manager for Lanier Parking Solutions. Last time I presented, you guys took me home with a little bit of homework to do, and I'm happy to state that our team has spent many hours combing your streets, looking at your occupancy, looking at your parking trends, and analyzing the data to help us reach the numbers that we've reached today. I prepared a brief presentation, and I do want to make it clear that I cannot divulge all of the information simply because we are at a competitive disadvantage. But I'm more than happy to explore what we have been able to put together with you in hopes to allow you to make an informed decision tonight about paid parking with Curry Beach. I wanted to provide just a brief overview. I know a lot of you have understood the experience, the municipal experience that Lanier brings to the table here locally. But for the new commissioners, we do currently oversee the town of Riceville Beach, we have the town of Carolina Beach, the city of Wilmington, Myrtle Beach, and the city of Durham, all of which that have benefited from municipal parking managed by Lanier. We are a turnkey management company. Basically what that means is that we're able to come into your town, we're able to build your appeals program, your adjudication, we're able to build the ordinances that you will pass, or not. Citation collection process, we're able to build the towing and booting ordinances, develop online applications, build your client reports, implement a pay-by-sell program, and we're able to repair all of the equipment on site. Each of our team members illustrates the core values in the acronym TIPS, teamwork, integrity, innovation, professionalism, and service excellence. And that helps us deliver the final product to the public, to the visitors that enjoy Curry Beach. Our parking ambassadors we provide the eyes and ears to the town. They're out there every single day of the week, talking to your visitors, looking for anything that's out of the ordinary. They support your local ordinances, they develop beats, and they offer change to your patrons. All right, now we get into the nuts and bolts of Curry Beach. Basically, when we reviewed your operation, there were several locations that are listed here that we wanted to review, oversee, and basically see what kind of turnout. These total spaces equaled 722 spaces. These spaces were also noted in the parking study that was produced in 2009 for your review. Out of those 722 spaces, 443 spaces actually produced occupancy that was worth revenue to note. Those locations are listed from the municipal side and also from the beach locations. You will also see there's accesses that are listed below 1342 where Lanier was able to spot cars parking and utilizing. When we measured the projection, there were several factors that came into play. First of all, it's looking at the season length. The season length, we're going to need at least 60 days out of the box to get this off the ground. So I look at your operating season for this year from being from May 1st through October 31st. April 1st through October 31st is currently what the town of Carolina Beach does. The hour, the rate per hour, I looked at what Carolina Beach did. Obviously, this council has a choice to recommend their preferred rate, but for the math, I chose $1.25 an hour. The occupancy rates. Occupancy rates were based on the study. They were based on the number of cars that occupied each given space when my team came down here and counted. We looked at your holiday weekends. And then we also looked at the types of revenue. Types of revenue that I measured to be gross revenue are simply meter and citation. Nothing more. So permits, residential permits, it was simply meters and citations. One of the beautiful things that we can offer to the town of Curry Beach is simply splitting costs with Carolina Beach. We've just renewed our contract with them. I went ahead and met with the town manager to see if he would have some interest, and they certainly do. Right now, we're able to save Curry Beach, the town of Curry Beach, 64% on rent, employees, utilities, phone services, and your data services. And how I arrived at that number comes from the total number of your spaces. So it's a measure of Carolina Beach, and it's a measure of Curry. And for that number, I use 400 43, not the 722, obviously. There's going to be capital expense. When I looked at these locations, I looked not only at the type of revenue that it was going to be able to produce, but how much each of these things cost. Because it doesn't make good sense to put something that may cost $12,000 in an area that's simply not going to generate the revenue. So basically, for the concept of our game plan, we put together the Loop 2, which is the latest and greatest and is the only product that they sell for this market. It accepts credit cards, cash, and coin. We also have the parking meters that I know everybody is used to. And then we also have Clancy. Clancy is a technology that our enforcement agents use that are able to call, they're able to take pictures of vehicles, they're able to print the citations all from one device that is transmitted into a database that would be shared with Carolina Beach. The data itself would be completely separate. All right, here's the shell shock. The capital expenses, of course, that we spoke about were the meters, the pay stations. You have honor boxes that we looked at as well, poles, the auditing, the collection device. Phase one, we've divided this operation into two phases. Your first phase is where you're going to implement the paid parking equipment in the areas where you have the highest demand. What that's going to do is it's going to cause people to move to your cheaper areas or your areas that have no parking equipment. That's where we come phase two. I've run numbers, and here's what we've come up with for the first year. Again, this is an operating season from May 1st through October 31st. The revenues are budgeted at the lowest. The expenses are budgeted at the max. I'm painting a worst-case scenario for you.
So the slide before that one, you talked about phase one, $247,000. Is that the cost?
That's going to be the cost of the pay stations, the initial meters, and the poles. The installation we will do on site for you at no additional cost.
Okay, but you're talking about here the expenses being $124,000.
The capital expenses.
What's the difference between the two?
You have operating expenses that it costs to operate the project, and then you have capital expenses that you purchase, say, once every 7 years.
So the capital expense is $247,000 to get it started.
To get it
and
started.
Then annually, the operating expense is
$124,000. Correct.
And so is your proposal that the town will spend $250,000 to get started, or does Lanier buy that and it gets financed through the income?
Well, Lanier can finance, but I'm going to tell you that usually municipalities, in my experience and our company's experience, you can get a loan a lot cheaper than we can get a loan. So typically what I've seen from a municipal standard is about 2.3-2.7%. The loans that our company get are anywhere from 9-10.5%. So while we can get the loan for you, it makes much more sense for the town to go ahead and do that themselves.
And you're saying every 7 years you spend that money to re-up the equipment?
The equipment lasts longer than 7 years, but technology expires. The technology component is what you need to continuously buy, repurchase. The latest belt was the PCI compliance. Now everything is PCI compliant, so that movement has passed. I'm going to guesstimate about 7 years before the next wave of technology is going to come through and then your equipment's going to be outdated. All of the parts from the pay stations are completely under warranty. All of the inner parts can be exchanged as soon as they go down, so it's no added cost, certainly within the first year. And then the town is offered a package to purchase the warranty for each year thereafter. But the cost of the warranty compared to the cost of the one piece of the equipment, it's marginally different.
And so in your expenses, that's not included, the putting in for the capital or reinvestment?
No, it does not include the capital. Okay.
And so what were your assumptions? You said when you actually did the study?
We looked at occupancy. We looked at
when?
When?
The dates?
They were measured anywhere from July through the end of the year.
Okay. So this just wasn't at the peak season period?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
That was my question. It wasn't just at holiday weekend?
It wasn't. It wasn't. And I can go over the exact occupancies with you, but basically I developed it to be peak and shoulder months.
Is there anything in your database to indicate local residents parking versus tourist parking?
No, there is not at this time. There is no way for us to decide with just a bird's eye view, you know, who is out here parking. But I can honestly tell you, from the statistics I read, you have just about 1,300 residents that live here year-round.
2,000.
Is that here?
Yeah,
I don't know. 2012.
Okay, out of the second
year, that's the number.
Okay, out of the second statistic I read, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or right with this one, it was 11,500 people are what actually come into your town during the season. And that doesn't even count the number of people that come in here just on day activity. It only counted the people who came and spent overnight. So the first presentation that I've delivered, we did speak about residential parking passes. And many of the towns have adopted that to where they're not taxing their visitors. They're actually taxing the visitors who come down and add this added weight to your police departments, lifeguards, et cetera. So it helps support that influx of cost.
But that drives all these numbers down, right? I mean, your assumption was no, in your numbers, you don't have any parking passes for Curie Beach citizens filling up any spaces.
Depends on how you want to drive the ordinances. You can put select spaces or select places where you'd actually like to have the permit.
I understand, but the assumption you built these numbers
right,
did not have that in there.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, so basically tonight I guess what I need to have is just an understanding of what this board would like to do. Is there any interest? If there's not an interest, any further questions that I can answer?
Yeah, but with Carolina Beach.
Sure.
Not counting the money that they make on the north end, how much money do they net each year in parking?
I can explain that information. It's different, though. They have Freeman Park, so they have
money without Freeman Park, not counting Freeman Park.
I'll submit that number to you.
Okay.
Can you get that to us and... if it's the wish of council, and like if you've got this on a disc or you can give us these numbers, we'd like to take it to our retreat.
Okay.
But I don't think any of us want to make a decision tonight. So.
That's fine. And our company is prepared to put forward, you know, a parking proposal for you to review. But one of the risks, as I said, stated, if the town does decide to throw it out for bid, we are offering the playbook before anybody else has a chance to write it
right.
as well. So. Nonetheless, certainly, I will do that. On the day of your retreat is
next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Okay,
next
I'll make sure you have the information.
Good. Thanks.
If we can have that, that
would
be wonderful.
Okay.
So the time to cover this is at the SLAP presentation. So Tony's here. I mean, in the retreat, if you put it in, that's when it should be a thing.
Yeah. Tony's still be the point man. And Tony, I appreciate you putting the work you did into this. Footsteps and hours involved in this.
Do you have a printout of this presentation that we can have?
Can you burn one more?
Yeah, I can definitely send it to you.
Just email it to
you. Just email it to me.
You got it. Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming.
You're welcome.
Tiffany? Lunge on in here.
Hello, my name is Tiffany Leslie. I live in Jona Beach, and I just want to talk to you about our Polar Plunge. It's our 8th annual Polar Plunge this year. We're having it at the boardwalk at Jona Beach, and we have the support of Curie Beach and Crown Beach. We have a bunch of businesses that are helping us out this year with our sound auction, as well as setting up food vendors down there. So we're excited about that. We have Michael Seafood is going to be setting up a vendor What I need is some chow, or some, their chowder, sorry, and some food for the kids, but we don't know what it's going to be yet. So we're also going to have pizza down there and some other food. We hope you guys will be able to come out to plunge, or at least be there. Is that a possibility?
Yeah.
I hope so.
I'm sponsored.
All right. Good. It starts at 11 o'clock in the morning, and it goes until 3. 3 o'clock is when the actual plunge is. This is our main and only fundraiser for Special Olympics. All the money that is raised goes directly to our athletes. We put on, we raise usually about $40,000, and the money goes to all of the events that we put on throughout the year. We do Camp Shriver, which was Ms. Shriver, Emily, you will be able to help me out with that. Ms. Shriver is the one who helped us get that going a long time ago. I don't know how many years ago that was. 18 years, something like that?
No, it's only been about 4 or 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe about 4 years when Jonathan was selected from several coordinators in the country to go to D.C. And meet her and received a grant to get the camp started.
Okay.
And each year we need, you know, more money to help pay for the counselors and the activities there, and also uniforms for the different sports and travel to Raleigh for the state Special Olympics. And a lot of our athletes still go to international games.
Yeah. And this is my first year ever doing Special Olympics. I'm the new coordinator for Special Olympics. So I just started in July. So it was my first polar plunge. And I'm excited about it. But again, we would love to have you guys out there. But it does, the money does go directly to the athletes. It goes to getting their uniforms, to getting them to state events and local events. The athletes do not pay anything at any of these events, and we provide all of the goods for them. We also have other activities locally, like social events, like dances and that kind of thing for them. But do you guys have any questions?
We do need, on Saturday, February the 18th, we would like for all of the council members to be there at 1:30, whether you choose to plunge or not, so that we can introduce you along with the Carolina Beach Council, and we're going to have a couple of other dignitaries this year.
Yeah,
we have a great picture of Chuck with Miss North Carolina last year.
But it is February the 18th, like you said, and it's $50. You just got to raise $50 in plunge. You can do it as an individual, or you can do it as a team. You have to have at least 5 people to be on a team, though. We do have a costume contest if you are in a team, and we dress up all crazy, and we have cool prizes for the people who actually win. You have to plunge either in a bathing suit, though, or the costume. You can't have any wetsuits, or you're breaking the rules.
And something Tiffany didn't know, the first two plunges that I had, Bill Clark and Tim Fuller, who were both mayors at the time, raised $1,500 each. They were challenging each other. Between the two of them, they raised over $3,000.
I got $10 out of it.
I'll match that.
I'm going to take care of the number.
I'll match that too.
And we have a doggy plunge. So
we do. We have a pooch plunge. It's our second year pooch plunge. So it's only $55 for your pooch to plunge with you.
He doesn't like the water.
So. Might be a bigger collector.
Yeah, that's what you need.
Can you pledge, not the plunge?
I mean, how many presentations have you made so far? How many councils have you raised?
This is our second one. We went to Carolina Beach last week.
Okay.
And Miss Emily was with me.
And they're all coming, and you know Tim always plunges.
Yeah, so I don't know how many how many, you know, council members are going to actually be out there, but we are rooting for you guys to all be out there. Even if we have to drag you, I'm just kidding. We don't have to drag you. But we do want you to be out there, though. And
so we can say that.
Exactly. So we could acknowledge you and acknowledge the Curry Beach for everything you guys are doing for us. And again, we are trying to get businesses to help us out for Curry Beach as well as Carolina Beach. It's just, we don't have that many, I guess, in Carolina Beach but, or Curry Beach, but we are trying to get those people to help us out as well so we can do all local businesses on the island to help with the plunge.
Jack Mackles has already given us some gift certificates, and I'm sure the gentleman who owns the pier would be glad to do the same.
Is he here?
Now, if you have a team of five, does all five have to plunge, or can just one plunge?
With the team, off, yeah, but I mean, you can. You don't have to, but we want you to.
If you have a team of five, that would.
That would. If you have like a niece, nephew, or somebody younger who wants to take your place, let them jump in the cold water.
Any other questions for this young lady?
This is our team of five.
Exactly. Yeah, if you have any questions.
You were at the City of Wilmington meeting tonight, Tiffany?
No.
Yeah, are they going to participate? Because Sappho came down a couple times.
Sappho was
last year.
Yeah.
Okay. I did talk to the secretary. I actually emailed him to put it on his calendar. So I called Dawn, which is the secretary, and she told me that he has other engagements this year. So I don't know if he's going to actually be able to come, but we're hoping, you know, some of the other ones on the council meeting.
Invite him down, and we'll get a couple of the county commissioners come down.
Jonathan is coming to plunge with you.
Well, that'll send the elevation up. He
promised to be a lawyer.
Thank you, young lady. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you very much.
Beverly?
Thanks.
Good evening. As many of you know, my name is Beth Hills, and I represent a group here on the island called Island Women. I am the co-chair of the Environmental Committee, and for the past several years, one of the main things that Island Women has been doing in our communities is helping to promote recycling, especially at events. We've been going and kind of manning the recycling containers and helping to try to get our guests at events to have the right behavior that we would like with putting recyclables into the containers and trash into the trash bins. But when we go to these events, we see that there are some issues regarding how events put together their recycling opportunities. And we have spoken to the Chamber of Commerce, and the Chamber of Commerce recommended to us that maybe we hold a seminar where we invite event planners from the island to come together to speak to them regarding organizing strategies for making events more sustainable, i.e. How to make your event more sustainable for recycling. We know that this has been an issue and that the county landfill is quickly filling up. And we see the amounts of trash that come from these events, and it's kind of disheartening because we see a lot of bottles being thrown away, we see a lot of cans being thrown away, and what we would like to do is kind of sidestep backwards and begin a process where we educate everyone involved with how we can become more sustainable. So what we are asking for the towns to do is possibly put together a permitting process where if events are held in a town, that they organize a permitting process where expectations are laid in within that permit as to an event planner as to what they are expected to do as far as recycling goes. And then in turn, those event planners can write into their contracts and their vendor expectations. They can require their vendors to sign a contract that they will either bring recyclable materials or compostable materials. The overall objective is to reduce the amount of non-recyclable materials that we're sending to our landfill, i.e. Styrofoam is one of our huge contenders that we have right now. So for 2012, what we have adopted as a goal is implementing a comprehensive recycling and waste reduction program in partnership with local agencies, and with a goal to promote a more sustainable environment by educating organizers of local events about waste reduction and recycling strategies. So we have called on the assistance of the Carolina Recycling Association and the Division of Pollution Prevention and Environmental Assistance with the state of North Carolina. In addition, we're consulting with the North Carolina Aquarium in Fort Fisher as to how they handle their events and how they have brought about their very successful recycling program. What we're asking the town of Kerry Beach is to help with this seminar, either by giving us a list of events and event planners in the area that come to you so that we can help pull together this seminar. We're looking to have it sometime in March. Right now we're organizing all our information. There is a lot of information out there, and we're trying to organize it and get it together. What we would like to do is, if somebody comes to this event, that we give them a certificate of completion once they've gone through and they understand that we are expecting them to be a little bit more environmentally friendly. So we give something down to them of value through the certificate, and then in turn, possibly through that certificate, the towns will look at that and consider marketing their events as being green and sustainable and other opportunities as well. So.
Where would you be conducting this seminar?
We are looking at several different locations. We would like to consider possibly the Recreation Center. I'm going to call them, and once we get all our details organized, we would like to possibly hold it there. We have no clue as to how many that we will be having. There's so many events on the island that we would contact every single person who organizes an event, and that would include weddings. I've been speaking to Shannon regarding that. She is also a member of Island Women, and we're trying to work out the details with that. We're looking at about a cost of $6 to $7 a person per head. We would like to do something that would be in the morning where we could have breakfast, like a light breakfast, and then present to them materials and strategies.
Charlotte, raise your hand. This is the chairman of the community center.
Oh, okay.
So she's a good one to get to know.
Very good.
I'd like for Kerry Beach to consider co-sponsoring this with the Island Women, and I hope Carolina Beach will be asked to do the same thing, mm-hmm. not to pay for any of it, but
to
help with the marketing.
If you can help with marketing, and if you can help with possibly offering us a location where we can have this without having to pay. I know that meeting space is sometimes at a premium. We would like to do it someplace where we could present our material without interruption. And we're only looking at, say, an hour to 2 hours of time that we're expecting people to come and listen to us and give feedback. Of course, what we would like to do in this seminar also is have it a two-way conversation with our event planners. We understand that when you put on an event, one of the underlying things is to promote the area, but also to make some money. So we don't want to put on them restrictions and guidelines that would be negative to what they've got going, but help them to become more environmentally conscious, but yet do it in a way that is within their budget.
Beverly, do y'all have a non-profit status?
We do. Yes, we do. Yes,
and
we do.
Questions for Beverly? We're going to discuss weddings later in the agenda tonight.
Okay. That would be great. What we would like to do, if the towns do come up with permitting processes, we would like to take that information and present that as well and use it. We can be your source to educating the public and, the, and event planners as to what you expect out of them. That would be certainly a good way that we could do that because we could stand up all day and say recycle, reuse, et cetera, et cetera. But if we would really like to have the cooperation with both towns at helping put this on and helping make it worth their while to come and listen and understand why recycling is so important.
David, you had a question?
Yeah, so I just want to make sure I understand exactly what you're asking from us. So you want the event contact from the town, right? So who's came to the town and told us they're going to do something?
Correct.
Whether it's through the rec center or through town hall. You're possibly asking for use of the community center sometime in March for a couple hours.
Yes.
Okay. And then I think you're asking that, that we make some type of regulations on using green in events, right?
Yes.
So if she's asking... If she's asking for that, we need to point her to someone to do that with, not us, right? I mean, so is that, I don't know who that's working with.
Well, I think we might have the car just a little bit in front of the horse until we, well, we get through this wedding thing. And I think just consensus, a loose consensus of some of the council members, and I think John didn't want us to actually vote on this wedding thing tonight, but we want to get that trying to stand working in our oyster here so when we have the retreat we can go in more depth. And with that said, I'd like Emily, if you'll step up to the plate a little bit on this when we get a little farther down the road, you'd be our point person from council to them, and that way we can get our recycling contract offers involved in you too. I think it'd be great to have them there.
Well,
and county, you know, we need to.
I've been in contact with both Waste Management and Waste Industries in regard to this. I've also contacted organizations that might, for example, there's an organization in Wilmington that will take beer cans and give you money in return. So, I mean, it's a matter of organizing events so that you have a waste reduction strategy. And so many of our events don't even, it's kind of an afterthought. We would like to put that on the forefront for every event coming into this area.
We have some recycling ordinances now. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I don't think we're going to vote on what John's going to present to us tonight. It's just something we need to start thinking about. But some of this is going to involve the use of private property. Mm-hmm. And I'm never in favor of regulating anybody's property. So
oh, I understand that. I understand that.
Yeah, we'll treat this as a slippery slope. We're going to treat very cautiously.
Yes, understood. We just, like for example, the Polar Plunge, the Island Women is going to be there, so if there's, we're going to have containers, we're going to man the recycling containers. It's just gotten to the point where we need to have event planners understand that they can control what's coming into their event. And if the cities, if the towns can help with that control factor, then that would be an added bonus.
Right.
I think a lot of the events she's talking about are ones like the triathlon. Mm-hmm. Concerts.
Gabby could just talk about that a little bit later tonight if you need to, but yeah, the triathlon and things, they're recycling, that was discussed in Parks and Recreation meeting. That's going to be.
Okay. But we plan to go forward with helping make the community overall, educating the community overall on the importance of recycling. And
tip fees we pay, the happier you are, all of us sitting up here are.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we prefer speak personally as a volunteer, we really don't want to have our heads in trash can trying to keep firing them out of the
recycling. Some of the ladies on the committee, y'all educated them. You know, you've done a great job because you don't have the problems that you used to have because you had that dumpster diving. It used to be a regular thing, even if y'all were wearing your little aprons.
True. So true.
One last thing I'd like to mention. Eric Van, you raise your hand. I understand that you're familiar with an operation to recycle fishing lines. Is that right? If the two of you could maybe get together sometime or share contact information, and I think that would be a good demonstration to have there.
Mike, you've had one of those on the pier for pretty good while, several years.
Anything we can do to assist you as a town with recycling, where would
maybe you have a question for?
Yes, you work with the rental people network and any of those people about visitors recycling, because you can look We walk the street every day, and we see what's in the
So much. That has kind of been a an underlying thing that we've been wanting to do, for the fact that there is there are so many rentals that need to be recycling, and we're that's part of the education series that we're trying to organize for.
So you would be inviting them?
Well, I don't think at this event, because we're targeting event planners, but I think that's down the line. If this is successful, then we will continue doing. We would like to put on about four events this year regarding recycling, and rentals is one of them.
Well, you initially said early on in the conversation that styrofoam was recyclable, then you just
I
was thinking that's a big issue with we work with the street festival, and mm-hmm. members are serving in the styrofoam.
Right. But if whoever your event planner is could write into a contract with a vendor usually signs a contract.
Yeah, we do.
And I've looked at some of the contracts that are here on the island. Nothing is said about what materials can be brought in. If you let your vendor know ahead of time, and that's part of what we're going to help promote at this seminar, is that you write into your contracts that either recyclable or compostable materials be brought, no styrofoam. I mean, that can be written into, and a lot of cities and towns are writing that into their contracts.
You're talking about 100% increase in cost.
One of the things that we're going to do at the seminar, we're going to have some product vendors there are going to come and bring some of their products, and because of the demand that they're becoming more and more.
Corn syrup, cups, things like e-cups.
Some of those things, yes. But some of the prices are coming down. The prices of those products are coming down.
I think Bev has even found a cooler mm-hmm. that is not made out of styrofoam, and it's less than what the styrofoam cooler
is. Right. For about $3, you can have a compostable or recyclable cooler for fishing tournaments.
And so really get rid of
those are the type of things that we're going to bring. We're going to bring those type of items for people to look at and to look and have vendors. So that's the idea, is to have a lot an information series and hear from people about the styrofoam and be able to say to everyone involved what your concerns are, because we understand that there are concerns, there are the costs. So. But we understand that. But eventually, it's going to be to the point where you're going to be paying more to get rid of your trash for an event than what it would cost you up front for the.
See, now the American public's a little more short-sighted than that.
That's why we're here. That's why we want to educate. That's why we work. That's why we have our task cut out for us.
Any other questions for Beverly? Beverly, we're Jay, thank you.
No, sir. Good.
Beverly, appreciate you coming tonight. And Emily from council, I think she said she would kind of be the point person to be awesome.
Yes.
Mr. Nounder, welcome.
Good evening, council. I don't relish your next chore at budget time. And I hope that you don't have as many constraints as last year. I'm here to hopefully represent the Federal Point Historic Preservation Society. And since we didn't get nothing last year, hope that we can get a little something this year. And would also like to know when you would like the written grant request, or do we still do those?
By next Tuesday, Mayor.
Okay. And other than that, are there any constraints? I mean, last year, let me explain that the Historic Preservation Society of the island has probably got close to 100 or so members. Of that membership, 52% are in Carolina Beach, 48% are in Kiri Beach. So when we're trying to just keep the doors open, and these grant monies do not go to anything except that. They do not go to any other function other than utilities and so. Your contribution is a great percentage of our budget, which we have coming up very soon. So consequently, so we can do our budget, we might explore some sort of a commitment from y'all this year, since we not a whole lot last year. And I checked back afterwards and still hadn't heard back what the final decision was, so I guess hearing nothing, it is nothing.
Mayor, I'd like to ask Arlen, have we notified the nonprofits on the island or publicized anything that that application is available and to submit?
No, yeah, that's actually at the retreat next week. That's one of the things is to
so we need to get that budget for Tuesday?
No.
Okay.
Well, to go through the actual budget calendar, and one of the things is if council does want to make that option, something we put out on the website to solicit requests for outside funding. So that's something that will have to be decided. If it's decided yes, then we will agree on the time frame.
Might I ask, is one of those charitable organizations that are requesting outside funding, might it be also possible for you to, since we have to submit a grant request, would it be possible for you to also mail out a letter stating when we need our request in there?
Well, we've got to go through the retreat process first, Mayor.
Right.
Okay.
You
said put it on the web, and I don't know.
Typically, that's what we'll do is we'll post it on the town's website.
But a lot of people will see the website.
Yes.
I'm sure Willard would also let us say something in the paper about
Let's not forget Willard.
Doing that this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not Arlen's issue, right? So the council will give him direction at the retreat. He's going to ask us a question. I don't know why we're soliciting for people to ask money from the town, but maybe the rest of the council can explain it to you. But we've never solicited, well, we did solicit the last time I was up here, and we got plenty of requests for money. So I don't think the town requesting people to ask us for money is necessary.
Well, then just exactly what would be the procedure.
No, David, it's mainly for our information to know what they would spend it on. Because we have so many more organizations than we have.
Right. And so
some of these we don't even know what they do.
The nonprofits that want money should send a certified letter to the town saying what they want and what they expect to do with it. I can tell you that, you know, the council is going to have a tough year this year, like every other entity. You were up here last year.
Oh, yes, sir.
So, you know,
that's why I prefaced what I said.
Exactly right. So, I mean, you know, sending out a newspaper article, request money from Curie Beach, to me just seems like foolish, right? Because please ask for money, because we're going to tell you no. The nonprofits should ask the towns that they're affiliated with, and then the towns will make decisions off that.
David, I think we, you weren't on council, so we
obviously was.
We've adopted a guideline, I think, on a meeting before they're even
okay. And I think that's smart, and it should be on the website. But if they can't take the time to get someone in their organization to look on the website and see what the town needs to even consider them, sorry, then they're not doing their small part to get funded.
And David, what we did last year was, the application was posted on the website, and with all the requirements and all the documentation that needed to be submitted.
Right. And that's far enough.
Right. We didn't actually send anything out to anybody.
Thanks, Barry.
Thank you.
Any other Steve, I got a question.
Sure.
When the town did fund the Historic Society, how much did it give in the past?
The town of Carolina Beach gave the Historic Preservation $4,000 last year. And normally, what has been given by the town of Curie Beach is $3,000. And that's what we did not get last year. And again, we have 48% membership in Curie Beach versus 52% membership in Carolina Beach. And with the population, the skew might be a little.
Thanks, Barry.
Jerry, you still with us back there?
Yeah, I like to run acreage. My time looks like we got a full agenda. I just wanted a clarification on a couple things, and I can ask at a later meeting.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Jerry. Get that, we'll move to discussion consideration of department head business, and we have administration and finance. Nancy. Oh, Greg, I'm sorry. I've got some marks on here now. Please.
Okay, that's all I'm good for an hour. Craig Galbraith, Chairman of the Caribbean Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. I'm sure as some of the council members know is that we try to come before the council once every couple of months to kind of provide an update and get a little bit of guidance again because the P&Z is often involved with establishing and recommending ordinances and, you know, spending a fair amount of time in doing these sort of things. So we have, you know, learned from the guidance of the council to try to touch bases every so often to get some guidance before we say perhaps go down the wrong path. This is an important issue. This is something that actually was, I believe, in my last update about 4 months ago. The mayor suggested that what we needed to do is look at the general plan and a component of the general plan that involved possibly looking at extending the business district down K Avenue. And it is in the general plan that was written last time. So we were asked to investigate that as to perhaps starting the necessary feedback from the citizens as well as discussion among ourselves as to whether that is something that Curie Beach wanted to do. About a month and a half ago, we had a public hearing on this. The statement right here is to discuss the expansion, the B1 expansion on K Avenue. Should point out that based upon that discussion, probably the expansion of B1 wouldn't work. You'd have to create a new business district like a B7 or something like that. But I'll come back on that in a second. But essentially what we did is we had a public hearing. We had about five property owners come to the hearing. I believe we had a couple council members there. I think we had a very good discussion at that particular time. I think at the beginning of the discussion, there was concern that there was some sort of sleight of hand going on, that there was an interest on the part of the city to extend the center parking down K Avenue or maybe justify sidewalks or something like that. I think by the end of the meeting, those concerns were eliminated, and I think we had a healthy discussion as to both advantages and disadvantages of extending some sort of a business type of district down K Avenue. The interest of extending a business district down K Avenue is really a mixed-use type of argument. You know, the argument that if we look at K Avenue, it would provide, if there is an interest in doing that, an opportunity for maybe light retail, gift shops, and that sort of thing, in combination with maybe upstairs residential, a typical mixed-use type of property. Again, as I mentioned, we had a good discussion about that, and we basically left it with our single meeting. We did have a discussion with the Planning and Zoning Commission afterwards and actually talked about that. And if anything that came out of it, it was that we needed guidance from the council before we continued down with these type of discussions because, again, to change the zoning would require a fairly substantial series of public hearings. It would also require looking at what the new zoning would look like in terms of various components in terms of setback, parking, et cetera, if you want to go in that direction. One of the things that we did decide, I believe, in our meeting is that, again, as I mentioned, that the B1 probably wouldn't work as the B1 encompasses a lot of different type of business activities, and that if we wanted to do some sort of a business activity down K Avenue, it would have to be a more specific type of business activity that would be a mixed use, which would require a different type of zoning. You know, for lack of a better word, I call it a B7 type of zoning. One of the things that did come out of the meeting also that I think everybody should know is that some business activities are already allowed in a residential type of zoning. For example, schools and things like that. You know, even without changing the zoning, there are certain things that actually could be done. So one of the things that was, I think, pointed out to the residents is that actually if we specifically look at a business type of expansion or business zoning, in some respects, it would actually give more protection to the residents on the K Avenue. So with that discussion, the Planning and Zoning requested that I come back to the council provide that quick summary and then ask for a little guidance as to whether this is something that the council would like us to pursue, again, with additional public hearings and continued discussion in the planning and zoning as to whether it's something that we really want to continue looking at in terms of extending some sort of business type of zoning down K Avenue. And with that, you know, we're just looking for some guidance that would you know, take us in the next couple months.
Questions? I was at the meeting, and I think most of the residents were actually shocked when they found out, according to the ordinance we have now, you can go to business almost anywhere in Carriage. And I highlighted a couple pages here for you, Craig, and I don't know whether you've got a copy of this. This
is the general plan, or is it?
No, this is $40,000 of taxpayer money right there.
Yeah, I think I read the first $20,000.
Okay. And on your land use plan, if you'll hit page 125, I think to 128, and I'm sure you've reviewed that, what you're actually, and what the overall picture, I think, of both these studies are to provide pretty much what you said, a B7, that you would have mixed use downstairs and have living quarters upstairs.
That's correct.
And in the B1 study, it actually says that it would be the wish of council to have some of those closer to where the town hall is now, so actually start here and go back.
Right. You know, one of the issues, for example, is how far up K Avenue we would consider doing that, 3rd Avenue, 6th Avenue, and so forth. So, you know, but these are the exact same thing. And we are familiar with this study, too, in terms of some of the architectural components related to a mixed-use type of operation.
Yeah, we need to use it as a starting point since the taxpayers pay for it. But in the land use plan, I thought it had some great stuff in here, which, you know, I think you've already reviewed. Yes. I mean, my wish that y'all would put some study in this to make it a B7, mixed use downstairs, living quarters upstairs. And the council?
Well, this kind of year is it's time to update our land use plan, is that right?
It is.
Is this something that could be tied into that, or should
it won't
we do this separately?
This kind of year is, I could put this 1 second, Craig. This land use plan done in 06 cost the town $20,000. CRC has not put any money aside, so I don't really expect the land use plan to be upped for another 5 years. The cost estimates for doing the next land use plan, even using UNCW, are going to be between $40,000 and $50,000. So Arlen and I already discussed this, and I was on the way to the retreat, but this, the CRC, which everybody is Coastal Resource Commission, it's another way for the government to tell our government how to run the town. Most, in my opinion, this is my opinion, and not council's, most of the rules are antiquated, but they still have that hold over the coastal community. So,
will they be requiring us to?
They require, but they don't have the money. If you don't have the money, I think everybody in this room knows that it doesn't happen. So they've got to put some matching stuff up, and they don't have it. So,
and if I could quickly respond, I think the issue related to this is a fairly specific one too. I mean, the land use plan, of course, is very important, and the land use plan that is actually addressing this in the land use plan right now is only about a paragraph long, so it's very general in terms of its terminology. John has done a little bit of research in terms of the requirements to actually change zoning. Clearly, there's a number of steps that have to be followed in terms of a zoning change, which is really what we're talking about here, including you know, several public hearings in terms of planning and zoning, and then council hearings, and you know, as well as defining exactly what would be in that particular zoning map in terms of uses. A strong recommendation in terms of having a mixed use is that you'd also have to go into what's called a form-based planning type of mechanism. So, you know, you would establish what the mixed use would look like somehow, a la, you know, maybe perhaps the architectural designs that have been presented in the Sawyer study and so forth.
P&Z spent quite a bit of time
on talking about that. So what we're talking about is if it's the planning or if it's the council's desire, we'll certainly do it. I mean, we're the direction of the council. But it would involve a number of steps that would be fairly time-consuming, you know, would involve the council, would certainly involve planning and zoning in terms of public hearing, a lot of discussions to be able to push ahead on this. And I think concern that we had is that we're quite willing to do it. I mean, we're very excited about doing this sort of planning and zoning type of issues, but we want to make sure that we're doing it with the guidance and the direction of the council.
Well, what you're doing was adopted in the land use plan that we're working with now, so it would certainly be my recommendation if y'all were to spend your time and let's revisit this form-based planning and the V7. I agree with you 100%. But like I said, you've got another study in front of you with some helpful guidelines in there, which are all acclimated, like they're the cost of the taxpayers. So we don't have any big developments coming up now that we've done before y'all, so I think this is a lull that y'all could start on this and maybe we can make some headway. That would be my recommendation. That's the council.
So conceptually, is P&Z's conception is just the properties adjacent to K Avenue? How deep into the block?
Yes, and we've had this discussion, and I've been involved in a lot of different zoning processes in various cities throughout the United States. And Curie Beach is a unique zoning map. I mean, when you look at the Curie Beach zoning map, it's very odd because it's based upon streets rather than on adjacent properties, basically. So, you know, typically when you have, let's say, a B1 property, you know, you wouldn't capture a full block, let's say, in that. You know, you typically have maybe the back property line. So you just have the properties that are fronting, let's say, the busy street or the business type of commercial street. That would be a particular zoning. That's not how Curie Beach is. You know, when it was originally designed, it wasn't set up like a normal zoning for most communities. So actually, when you look at, say, the B1 district, actually, the B1 district actually captures a lot of residential houses. You know, there are a lot of residential houses in the B1 district and so forth. What we would be certainly recommending here, and I think what was certainly talked about, is simply the properties that would be fronting K Avenue, which would be part of this kind of B7 type of district, and no further or no deeper in any one direction.
And part of this was originally B7 across the street here. Yeah.
And how far? You said P&Z didn't have a sense of what they come on?
No, we were charged basically just to start the discussions. Okay. And two things came up. One is maybe going, you know, all the way up to 6, let's say, coming up here, versus maybe not going quite as far. You know, that was certainly in the discussions, and you know, I don't believe the land use document really defines it. You know, it's a fairly
broad. It has an overlay map. Man.
Yeah, it has an overlay map, which takes it, I believe, to 6.
Yeah. It does have that, and that's always been in here. It actually takes it to 7.
Does it? Okay.
I mean, I guess my only interest is so 5 property owners, according to which lot you say, you're talking 12 to 14 coming all the way up. So you had less than half of them. What was their sense of it? Because, I mean, they're the ones that are impacted, right?
Right.
You got a nice plan for the town, but I don't see the property values changing either way, even if you do all this work. What are the property
owners? One could argue, actually, that by expanding the zoning, you actually might increase the property values.
So you said earlier you're not expanding.
Well, no, you would expand. See, right now, you know, even though it's residential, there are some businesses allowed.
Right.
Okay, certainly not the expansive businesses that you could define within, let's say, a B7 type district. But in fact, in a residential, and I don't have the listing in front of them, but within a residential zoning, you do have certain commercial activities that are allowed. Now, much narrower definition than you would normally have in B.
Andy, John, can you all talk ahead? Give some of those things. I mean, there was a huge list of schools. And basically, this B7
schools,
medical offices, offices, customary occupation,
museums.
Museums and that sort of thing. So somebody could actually set up a school or a college in a residential zoning here.
Professional offices.
You know, professional offices, that sort of thing. What is not allowed would be gift stores and that sort of thing. So when we're talking about, you know, I think the general opinion in a mixed use is that you talk about light retail, you know, gift stores, you know, maybe coffee shop, mom and pop sort of things that would be on the bottom. And then a mixed use, obviously, is you're looking for a residential component on top. So, you know, that was certainly a discussion. You know, I don't think there's any question. It was the 5 or 6 property owners that showed up. I think they were very defensive to start with, but I think at the end of the meeting, they had walked out, perhaps, and changed their opinions and say, you know, this really is something that we may want to look at. We also recognize that five or six property owners is not the full set of property owners that are there. And obviously, if you have a zoning change, you'd have to, you know, have several public hearings and a whole process of, you know, letters being sent out to everybody. And that was one of the concerns, too, that some people were concerned that the letters weren't sent out properly and things like that. So, but we made it quite clear that this was just starting the conversation. This in no way was, you know, near the end of the conversation.
Okay. I do have something else that I might have brought up at the zoning meeting when you were in California. And I'm sorry I missed the public meeting that you had, but you said something about the homeowners there being concerned about sidewalks and parking down the middle of K, like we have up toward the B1 park and right in the B1 district, and that you let them know that that's not what this is, or you let them know that that's not going to happen.
We let them know that our discussion about the rezoning, it was in no way related to a discussion of extending parking down. And several of the property owners, at the same time, there was some discussion about sidewalk, and the 10-foot in type of sidewalk. Evidently, some people were very concerned about the center parking that's in K Avenue down one or two blocks. Were concerned that was going to be extended down further in terms of trying to get additional parking. We made it quite clear that our discussions about expanding the B business zoning had nothing to do with a hidden agenda of trying to expand the parking or the 10-foot sidewalk.
Okay,
I think that was the main concern.
And that's fine for planning and zoning, but we do have a parking committee that may be looking at those issues, and we're kind of caught in the middle here. We don't want residents being led to believe that that's not going to happen because PNC.
No, we didn't make any promises when we're done. It's just that was a.
The parking coming up 2 or 3 months later and saying we want parking all the way down the middle of K Avenue. I'd really like to see the two committees work together because you're going to have to talk about what's required for parking for these small mom and pop businesses anyway. And so the parking committee should probably be a part of that. And if they're talking about these sidewalks and middle of the street parking, you need to know that. I would really like to see the two of you work together on this and not one over here and one over here and we're caught in the middle.
I thought we had kind of addressed that before, Tony, that the first discussions you would have to kind of match these two together.
DOT is now looking at K Avenue, because we brought up the sidewalks, all the residents came in, they weren't happy. They just let us know at this present time that there's flooding when it rains and stuff, and nobody really knew that when we were going ahead.
Because there was never water.
Never water, but they said it floods, so then DOT said before they would do a sidewalk or whatever, they would research the problem of drainage and what that would entail. So right now for parking and the sidewalk, as far as I understood it, it's on hold until DOT comes.
Yeah, but that's only on one side. I already have a DOT, DOT approved sidewalk on the other side. So
that's correct.
So that, that in and of itself, I guess half of it you can start laying out. So.
And is this stormwater something that we need to consider as if the town provided for that, that's an incentive for the property owners.
Yeah, I think what we're looking at is, since we're just beginning the discussions on this, as to whether you want us to continue looking at extending some sort of business type of zoning. Now, once we kind of get over that hurdle, the specifics in terms of how much parking would be required in terms of a mixed use sort of thing, these are sort of things that would need to be fleshed out on a more specific level, but if there isn't an interest on the part of the council to kind of really look at extending the business zoning, then we're not going to go ahead and pursue these type of other issues. But if there is an interest, we start with some additional hearings. We start coming up with some, maybe straw man type of proposals that we can present to the public and during the public hearings and that sort of thing to just get some feedback. But, it's going to take a fair amount of time. If it's something that the council wants us to do, this is a fair amount of time and effort on the part of P&Z and possibly on the part of John, too, to become involved in this sort of thing. So we just want to make sure that we're all on the same track, before we push ahead on this.
Do we have a consensus to count your council to
ask P&Z. Now, you don't have any hot button issues you're working on now.
No, we've got one or two other issues that we're looking on that is not really hot button. One would be an alternative energy type of issue in terms of siting of solar panels and windmills and that sort of thing. But and then the form-based planning type of issue is always in the background in terms of these things. But those are the three major issues that we're
not taking a formal vote. Steve will move forward with this.
Yeah.
I mean, all the surveys we've done, they want mom and pop coffee shops, small boutique businesses.
Right. Yes.
So that our tourist folks and even our residents have a place they can walk to while they're wearing out the asphalt.
They're walking the streets.
There you go. Emily?
Yes, definitely.
Certainly on my part, Chuck. David?
It's up on the slope now.
Okay.
That's all right. You have your margin orders.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Arlen? Thanks. You can keep that?
No, I can
bring it back. Okay. Thank you.
What you've been provided with is actually four different policies and procedures for the town. In some cases, it's just kind of clarifying, maybe strengthening a little bit the policies that we have. A couple of them are also new policies. I'll start with the travel, training, and business expense policy. And won't necessarily run through all aspects, but maybe just focus on what the most significant changes from what we had. And that really is to strengthen the approval process. One, I mean, it was always the fact that a department head would approve, you know, travel and training for their own employees. But it's also to say that the now the town council liaison for the department would approve the department head travel and training. And then also in regard to council, that the county council would have to approve travel and training for any member or any elected official.
Who will?
Council would have to agree that they want.
As a whole? So we have to take a vote?
As a whole, yes.
Okay.
That hasn't changed. Is
that's it? Only for us to get reimbursed. We can still travel whenever we want, just the town
pay. Correct. Yes, okay. Yes, in regard to the town paying. And it really, it was kind of worded like that in the policy we have. It was kind of very
gray.
Yeah, it was gray. It was just not worded very well. So this kind of clarifies that. The only other thing it changes is actually to bring just updated for current IRS guidelines in regard to per diem meal allowance.
Can I assume everybody's ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Council's wishes.
Do we want to approve them one by one?
I read them and I didn't see anything in here that I wouldn't approve, so if you want to wait till the end, that's fine. Arlen,
yeah,
can you do one?
Yeah, then. Purchasing policy, I mean, again, we have a couple different things. This kind of takes everything, puts it in one place. Also strengthens it a little bit with, you know, having a whole, like, purchase requisition. And also, we have been using purchase orders, but maybe not as consistent as we should be. So this is putting, you know, a lot more emphasis behind that, when it's really required, when they're not required. Also giving some guidance for committees. We kind of had a separate thing that wasn't an official policy, but what the purchasing procedure should be for committees. Also the guidelines for using the town-issued purchasing cards that we have. So again, it's things that have been out there, but, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, which just, you know, consolidates it all. And then also giving a summary of the state committee requirements.
So if the department has had a chance to look at this one?
Yeah, actually, in the two policies that in particular affected the department head was the travel policy and this purchasing policy, and you know, it was submitted to all department heads for their comments, so everyone was on board with these two policies. Yeah, I've had a couple that, you know, no real concern, maybe just a question here or there, but everybody was on board with the changes that were made.
And then I see white, yellow, pink, gold copies, so we're still on the old style of not doing this with a computer?
Well, no, we do. They're printed on the computer, but we have
a dot matrix printer or something?
Well, it's done laser, but there's a couple different copies. It's a multi-part form that we do, so.
Okay. Is that okay with the Nancy's of the world? Nancy? You don't do this.
No, no,
it's
right.
Actually all done in the county area, so it's pretty streamlined. It's not
It's not that burdensome. Okay.
Yeah, and that's what I'll say with all these policies. I mean, the goal was to, you know, have appropriate levels of control, but at the same time, we're small, you know, not to go on a crazy road with that. That's like we're extremely burdensome.
Okay.
The next policy is something that we had something, but it basically said we would deposit money when we got to $250. It was basically very incomplete, I guess, for cash management policy. So what this does, it kind of explains our simple depository process, you know, how our procedures for collecting revenue, for dispersing funds. And then more importantly, talking about investments. And they're talking about, I guess, what authority would be given to me as a finance officer to make investments in the town. And that all has to be within the general statute, 159-30, which gives all the guidance for what the municipality can invest in. But this even tightens that even more in saying that I would have the authority to, you know, invest in some really basic things like savings accounts, CDs, money market, all with banks that have been approved by council. The other thing that I have the authority to invest in is the North Carolina Capital Management Trust, which is, we only have an account there right now, say a money market fund. And then also any just general U.S. Government obligations, which we haven't done up to this point, but it may be something we want to consider, you know, in the future. The other thing I would say with that, without additional council approval, the investment terms and maturities would have to be, you know, 1 year or less. I was recommending something greater than that, and bring that to council before I would do that. So that's really the essence of this policy.
I read it, and I didn't find anything in there that I had any questions on, and Arlen's got a great working relationship with the banks that we're using, so do I have a motion to approve?
There's one more.
There's one more policy.
And I'll just, also with that cash management policy, I was going to recommend one change to what I provided you, which is on page 4, on signature of checks, that it said one signature shall be the finance officer. I think we should add to that, in my absence, the deputy finance officer. So I'll just make that adjustment if that's okay.
Okay.
And the last policy is the fund balance policy, which this was developed in conjunction with our Citizens Budget and Finance Advisory Committee. This also is something new. We kind of had some informal things out there, but this kind of puts it in one place, makes it hopefully as clear as possible, even though there's a lot of things in here dealing specifically with some of the governmental accounting standard board requirement and new statement that went into effect 54 on the fund balance reporting. We had to comply with that effective for this past fiscal year end. Mm-hmm. So what's in here are some of the definitions of how fund balance is classified now. So I just included that here. And then the real essence of this is the section 2 on page 2, fund balance policy, where it talks about what we think the minimum balance, fund balance that the town would want to maintain. And then we went for 32%, which is really basically 4 months worth of expenditure. So we thought that was a good place, you know, an adequate level that, you know, we really wouldn't go much longer than 4 months with no revenue coming in in the event of some kind of natural disaster or some other condition. Again, thought that was a good cushion, and again, it's a minimum. It doesn't mean that the town can't be and shouldn't be higher than that, but this would be the minimum.
So that's in comparison to the 8% required by the state, right?
Yeah, this, right.
It's still lower than it used to be, but okay. And when the finance committee did that, did they look at the 90s, what we spent on the hurricanes? Is that sort of how they came up with that number, or where did they come up with it?
Well, we looked at a lot of other towns.
Okay.
A lot of other beach towns were doing, and it kind of went with what most cities and municipalities were doing at this point in time. So we also tried to go back and look at some of those expenses. You know, some of that's pretty dated since we've had really significant storms here. And again, we felt that, you know, 32% so 4 months of expenditures would probably be sufficient, again, because your revenue sources aren't going to dry up completely for that long period of time. Also in that, it kind of talks about when you're allowed to dip below that 32%, and part of the GASB 54 is you have to have a plan and a time frame that you're going to have to get back up to your stated minimum. So that kind of is the essence of that policy.
Okay. Any other questions, Garland?
No.
Can I have a motion to adopt these revisions and policies?
I make a motion that we adopt them as written with the change to add the deputy finance officer.
Or can I bring up one more? I'm sorry. One other small change. I just need to change in the fund balance management policy.
Yeah.
On page 2, also in that fund balance policy section, there's 2 references to general fund. They really should be changed to governmental funds, which encompasses not only the general fund, but also the PALDO fund and the stormwater fund. So really be included in those. So all the other wording would be the same, but just the governmental funds.
So your rank can even lower?
I'm sorry?
Your rank can even lower?
What? Well,
you are.
Right.
I'm not putting on the spot, but that makes it lower than 32% of the...
Well... Yeah, it does make it lower.
We mix it all together in
but you get some
the
of the
early 2000s, right?
Right, you get some of the classification, like PALDO is restricted,
right.
So you really can't, that won't count in the calculation anyway, that's already removed. Stormwater, if we had any type of issues that came up in a storm, most likely we'd be using some of those funds for stormwater type issues.
Okay. And we'll renew this every year?
Yeah, that's it. That's my last question.
And we'll renew this every year?
We don't have to, no. It can be revisited whenever council would like, or if we see that there's some need to do that, or if I have a recommendation to do that,
okay.
We have to refer them to the council.
Okay. So can I try that?
Dave, one more time.
Yes, sir. make a motion that we approve the 4 procedures as presented with the 2 exceptions. One. Does that need to say more?
She's going to sleep.
Madam Clerk. Do I need to say the 2 exceptions?
I have those down.
Good enough.
So
with the 2 exceptions,
just,
there you go.
Okay.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Arlen.
Thank you.
And now the building department.
In y'all's packet for this month, you should have received a draft ordinance regarding beach plagues per your request. When I put this together, at short direction, you asked to identify an ordinance for beach plagues, and so I started doing some research. And I called just about every single town on the East Coast of North Carolina to find out what they did as far as beach plagues. Surprisingly, they were all doing the same thing that I do, which is not a whole lot of anything. Questions first off, though, regarding weddings on the beach.
is this something that we really want to get into as far as public property is concerned, or private property is concerned, and charging fees and permits, and requiring them to get permits for private weddings on private residences?
Well, that's what I was referring to before. If it's private property, I don't think we're sticking our fingers and telling somebody what property. If it gets out of hand, then yeah, we need to do something. Referring back to the larger events, Gabby Krause, when's your appointment tomorrow? 1 o'clock, Gabby, when y'all are going up there? And this newest member of the Parks and Recreation Committee in Bermuda County tomorrow, and he's back there somewhere. And one of the items I think they're planning on discussing the College Actual Front Park was the plans or policy that the county uses now. So having read this again, I hate that he couldn't step off, but I would like to table this until the retreat, and I would like the information from the county available so we can kind of go into some real discussion with this at that time.
That would be a good idea, Mr. Mayor. I didn't want y'all to act on this tonight. I think this is a pretty large ordinance, and it's fairly heavy-handed, and I think it deserves at a minimum a public hearing before anything would be passed into ordinance.
And with that being said, I would appreciate if council would take any notes pertaining to this and have it ready at the retreat so we can discuss it in depth. And like I said, Gabby and Craig will be at the meeting tomorrow with the county. They'll bring up what they've got. So there's no need in us reinventing the wheel, and they've already been through all this stuff. And the head of the county Parks and Recreation Department has got some experience under his belt as far as dealing with general public. So with that being said, do I wish council will postpone this until the retreat.
So one of the things I'd like the other council members to think about that Shannon brought up the other day, I like the concept that John has presented, because we have so much trouble with trash and noise and things that maybe the county is not as experiencing on the level that we are. But if we have a small wedding with a half a dozen people who are just go out there on the beach with Shannon, who is a minister, she marries them and they leave, and there's nothing involved as far as leaving anything there, recycling, drinking, noise, bands, or anything else, should they be treated the same way as, say, the triathlon, which this year it becomes the sports festival that Bill Scott is talking about, to cover all of Kerry Beach for 2 days? I don't know that those two type of things should be treated equally, but I can't get in my mind how we treat them differently.
Well, we're treating them in court, I imagine.
Think about, so be thinking about that.
Because if you try to hold, access to a public access point to a public beach, I think you'd be biting off more than you chew. And if it's a small way, yes, ma'am.
I don't know if it's appropriate to mention something at this point or not, but in response to what you just said, the small, seemingly small events morph into huge events. We live next door to a house that has frequent events. Often what happens is it starts as a small gathering on the beach, lovely as you described it. Then people from other houses that have been rented on the beach converge on this site for the after party. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, we still haven't slept. So.
And the next time you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you call me, because the police aren't doing their job.
No, sir, the police have done a remarkable job.
Well, then you should be able to sleep at 4 o'clock.
Yeah. What happens is they come out, they do exactly what they're supposed to do, things quiet down, and it's necessary to call them back. Sometimes the players change, sometimes people come and go. It's an amorphous kind of thing. It has pretty much made our lives absolutely miserable, night after night after night.
Well, most of that, I think, will be addressed in this ordinance that John's brought us, because in that case, when they're renting a house, You have usually, like you said, a family, the bride and groom, and they get together. Yeah, that's what this ordinance is about.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it has got out of hand in several occasions. All right. What's council's wishes for John?
Well, I want you to look at 11 p.m. thing as every other New Year's Eve would be on.
I've actually had some requests to end up at 10 p.m.
New Year's Eve ends at
10 p.m. What is it? Our
noise ordinance is 11. Our noise ordinance.
You can talk about the D1 district.
Our noise ordinance needs revamping also.
But is it 10 or 11?
It's 11 for business noises. Yes. Kind of the way I'm treating it for a party.
Live across the street from Jane Dugan at 7 p.m.
A party's a business noise?
I mean, you've got to look at it. If you don't have everything you need to work with in the ordinance, you've got to kind of look around. In other words, if you're going to have a party, I think a pretty reasonable time to shut it down and shut your music down is around 11 o'clock.
Our ordinance doesn't say
that. Our ordinance does not pertain to parties, I'm sorry.
What does it say about noise? I know it says
it talks about amplifiers and loudspeakers on cars. It talks about business noises end at 11. It talks about building operations ending at 6.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, like you said, there's a little bit more to this, and we need to get all of our questions together for John and discuss it.
I
have a motion to table by Commissioner Pagley. Second. Commissioner Pagler, any more discussion?
I'll be going to discuss it at all during our budget sessions. Or is this just tabled indefinitely?
No, we're tabled.
Tabled or retreat.
Okay, that's
right. All right, all in favor, signal by saying aye. Thanks, John.
John, can we get a copy of the noise ordinance?
Sure, absolutely. I'm going to include some comments that I've got.
Thank you, Mr. Building Inspector. Fire Department, none. The Police Department, Dennis asked me to bring the Council's attention. He is at the firing range tonight, and he is in the process of updating the Police Personnel Manual. And he wants to let the attorney review the updates as he works through them. There's 75 pieces of this thing in
him. Yeah.
And he did the original manual. He does not, in the time restraints, want to bring each one of these to council. He'd like to work with the town attorney if he thinks that they're on the right path, and he'll bring it to us when they're complete. And that was just an update for him. So with that being said, can I have a motion to have the town attorney as the review person for the changes in the personnel manual until they're Ross Council.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Mr. Hagler, seconded by Steve Bagley. On any more discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Andy. If you'll touch base with Public Works, has given us an update on some cost. We're doing an engineer study for some of the stormwater problems. Again, I would like to postpone the discussion of this until the retreat and let everybody have time to review it. And this is something that I would appreciate because everybody taking the time to study it. And Emily has already researched a little bit about some stormwater grants. I've got some meetings this week with three of the state senators pertaining to this, and if I can find anything else to be different, I'll bring it to you Tuesday.
May I share some new information with you?
Sure.
Okay. With the help of our mayor here, I've been looking into two grants with the Diener. One of them is 319 federal money that could help a lot with their infiltration system, but because of cutbacks, they are only doing polluted streams and rivers and bodies of water this year. They are not doing their base projects, so we wouldn't even qualify to make an application. Now, on the Clean Water Funds, which we, I guess a lot of that helped with the phase one over on Cutter Court, and also with the stormwater for the park. The application is due February 1st. They are limiting the amount of money that any one project can have to $400,000, which doesn't even cover half of the cost of phase two. In addition to that, it is a full application that normally would take an engineer several weeks to put together. They would, however, be very, very interested in an application on the infiltration system for the clean water funds, even if we only did five or six of them, not all 15. Mm-hmm. And so that, I guess we would really need to talk to Sonny about who would write that application, because it is extremely detailed. And I'm not sure there's enough time for somebody to put that much information together, plus it would probably be somebody we would have to pay, like an engineer. So
what's the matching on that?
There was no, he did not give me any particular matching, but I was telling him how our public works department does a lot of the work that's involved in the construction of those infiltration systems, which he said would help the application tremendously.
Who are you talking to, Richard?
No, it was a Richard, I'm sorry, wait a minute. Richard Rogers, who's head of the clean water.
Oh, okay. He's the one that you got. Can you, this is strictly me talking again, can you contact him tomorrow, you think, and ask him to send us a copy of the application or download it so we can look at it?
Yeah, we can download it.
Once you do that, let's see how actually detailed it is. Okay. Before we
I'm not sure, but Brian did one for the park, and of course a lot of this is boilerplate, because I was trying to work on one, and so Brian Cox could possibly do it that quick.
Okay.
I don't know what our cost is for him, but it might be less than.
Well, I think what we need to do is touch base with the folks in Raleigh, see what kind of real shock we got at this, and then we'll kind of weigh it against our wish list. All right. Thank you, Emily. Discussion and consideration of all business. If y'all don't mind, let's take a 5-minute break now. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Okay. Order, and we're having a discussion and consideration of all business, committee term limits, and renewal procedure. Commissioner Keener.
This was a very simple thing that turns into being complicated. It was on December 15th, we had a joint committee chairman's meeting. And at that meeting, Nancy, I spoke of, asked me to bring up a couple of things about the committees. They found out that we have 9 committees. We have 3 of them that had no term limits. We had one of them had two-year limit. We had 4 with 3-year staggered. We had 1 with 3-year. And we're asking Nancy to keep track of all the renewals and when they canceled and so on. They asked if it would be possible to come up with some kind of plan where all the committees are on the same level, same path. The other big problem was when people were renewed, somehow in the policy that required a person who's renewing, who's been there 3 years and trying to renew another 3, they had to go get an application, they had to have an interview, they had to be go through the whole process just to be renewed, when it's usually just pretty automatic that they stay anyway. So I would like to divide those 2 problems tonight and table the one regarding the staggers, because apparently, according to Nancy, I didn't do a very good job at the meeting explaining what they wanted to do, and they didn't get the results that they wanted, and I'd like to bring that back up and at the next meeting, and Nancy will be there to explain why it should be different than what we came up with.
But as far as the renewal, there's no question about that. That's ridiculous. It needs to be changed, and I'm wondering if we could change that policy tonight and vote on it and table the staggered situation.
So you were going to give your discussion, or if you want Mr. Keener, Pro Tem Keener, to make a motion. And your motion would be?
If you look on third, number three, and D, where it says for renewal, so there's no requirement to fill out new applications or be interviewed by the committee, revised January 17th. I'd like for us to pass that. I'd like to make a motion that we add that to the policy, accept that change to the policy.
We have a motion to accept this change. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I have a comment, but it doesn't have anything to do with the change. Should I ask it now or after the
vote? Well, why
don't you guys about this or about the voting?
No. It says in here under GB, incumbent committee members will interview applicants at a regularly scheduled meeting of the committee in an open session, and that they will vote, select two applicants that they'll refer to the town council. And I discussed this with the planning commission when they met, I guess, week before last. And they have been under the assumption for the last 2 years that they were not allowed to do that. I would like to go on record as pointing out to them that this is already in the regulation and they may do that from now forward.
What were they not allowed to do?
Interview the applicants and select two to send to council. They've been coming to council and council has been interviewing them.
G1 is for ad hoc committees. The planning committee is required by general statute if you look at two.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to send it to council.
It's different for the ad hocs.
That's right.
Okay, I missed that.
So their plan is on it, stormwater, environmental, public record adjustment. It has to be chosen by the council.
Without any input
at all.
Exactly right. From the committee.
They can come to the meeting. Yeah, they can come to the meeting, but they can't filter anyone out.
Or they can express their...
What I thought about the 9 minutes.
Okay, that's okay.
Okay.
Sorry, I completely missed that.
Okay. With that being said, we have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, you have all that on your...
Yeah,
right.
I do.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion that we table the... number B on that same page serving 3 year staggered term. Table that to the truth. I'm sorry, I'm going to table that until their next meeting.
Okay, you can clarify that for the clerk, please.
She got it.
I got it.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I do. I actually have it.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Discussion. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Aye.
A question.
Yes, Mr. Gabby.
Does that mean that we didn't have any in our parks and recreation package board, we didn't have any 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? I mean, we don't have to do that.
No. Under state statutes, you've got to have that. You're different.
You're different today.
And this is ad hoc, you're not. Yeah,
well, we've already, you got the minutes that who's going to do what, right?
We're fine with that.
Right,
yeah.
You're a mandated committee, gotcha. Right.
Thanks, Gabe.
Thanks for clarification here,
Seawatch stormwater treatment structure, you heard earlier this evening from Commissioner Swearingen that under the Clean Water Trust Fund, we are trying to pursue funds. And in your packet, we have a letter that we received from the Seawatch Homeowners Association committing up to $8,000 of their funds toward the construction of a stormwater outfall filtration system in front of the Seawatch area. This will be the most problematic of these structures because of the low dune line through there. So,
appreciate them stepping up to the plate, and with Ms. Squires' help, we will keep hammering in Raleigh. If we come up with anything substantial, we'll get back to council. That's agreeable with everyone. Right? So, they, you know, with that being said, unless there's some questions, anybody have any questions about this? All right. Discussion and consideration of new business. Under your new business, one of our citizens came to town hall, said that she was having problems and had witnessed problems because with the closing of the seasonal hotels, it was extremely dark. We're walking down Fort Fisher Boulevard, and she had actually fallen, came into town hall with a big black eye and a cut place over her chin, or over her eyebrow, and she would like council's consideration of checking the lighting situation along Fort Fisher Boulevard, and this was in the B1 district, and would like them to actively pursue more lighting down there. We can see what is available from the output of the lights down there through CP&L, or what's council's wishes on this. That's where we had the problem with the sidewalks. No, sure, you're not getting one at your house.
I said check.
There, just check. We have some problems with sidewalks, and this was a trip hazard. And she, I think you'll read in the packet some documentation from other people who have fallen down there. Because of poor lighting. I think this is something we need to take very seriously. And David, I'm kind of, if you don't mind, if you could kind of step up to the plate, discuss this with Sunny Lane, do the same thing he's done before with Progress Energy.
Okay.
Check the lighting situation down there, see if it's up to the standards, and get back with us. And at their discretion, where they would actually clip another street light down there to keep those sidewalks lit.
Right. So, is part of the issue the sea turtle lighting on our street lights?
Well, they can put the shades to send it back.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
So I know it's part of the issue somewhere.
I think it's in front of them.
Okay.
The lighting there during the tour season when the hotels are in.
Yeah, it's plenty of
people.
Okay,
I understand
the issue.
All right.
No more about the sidewalks. Are they ours or DOT's?
No, they're ours.
Okay.
And if you don't want to get David and I discussing sidewalks, because we have no room to fix what we've got, so we've got to make them as well-lived as we can.
I don't know if maybe she's an attorney or she has an attorney, but did you see this, Andy? Did you read the last sentence?
I'm well aware of the facts and situation.
So, I mean, even if we address the lighting and the sidewalk issue the way she's written this, we can't just not do anything now?
Well, there's no liability as far as her fall.
Not for her, for this one, but for future ones, the way
future ones,
it,
now you've been put on notice.
That's what I'm saying. So even if we fix the lighting, if the sidewalks stay the way they are, we have an issue, right?
That's right.
But Dean's right. We have a problem in that the town's property on those sidewalks, they're not full-size sidewalks when we put them in. So, I mean, we can try to fix them, and that's what I'll have Sonny figure out how much it's going to cost, but we can't make them full-size sidewalks because we don't own the property. We ran into this in 2001.
There is a company who has a process that do retros to make them ADA accessible, and I'll get the information to you.
Okay.
All right. Real estate signs, again, in your packet. We have a couple folks that are concerned with the length after the sale of the home that a real estate sign is being left in the yard. If I were a realtor, they spend quite a bit of money on these signs. It is a way of visual advertisement, but I think we should discuss, I don't think we need to vote on anything tonight, but again, at the retreat, what we think is deemed a reasonable time to leave a salt sign up. These are not advertised in two sale. These are after the fact that the houses are sold.
We have nothing down, John.
The ordinance doesn't specifically address real estate signs. It does say that a sign can't be left up for more than 60 days after the bona fide business is closed down. But all it says that anywhere remotely close to being able to address that issue.
If you'll put that on your agenda for us to discuss, John, I appreciate it. Mrs. Swearingen, you have grant policies.
Yes. I thought about this because of thinking about applying for some grants for a couple of things. And I thought back over the last 14 months that I've been on council. And I have seen departments apply for grants that they were paying grant writers to do, and some that staff just, I'm not sure who directed them, but applied for private grants for things sometimes involving the park, sometimes other things. Now, I won't say all of the council members didn't know it, but I'd say the majority of the council members didn't, and certainly all of us didn't have an opportunity to read those applications. And I just feel very strongly that if any staff members or council members get involved in putting together an application, that the council should know that it's being done. For one thing, for a lot of grant applications, someone like the mayor has to sign it saying that the council actually has read and agrees to that application. And that's not true if the rest of us don't even know the applications are being made. And I'm not looking for an ordinance.
Which grants are you referring to?
I'm talking about any grants at all that are written that I think the council members should have an opportunity to read that grant, have a say on whether or not we should really be applying for it based on any matching requirements, any other requirements that we're asking or agreeing to in this application, how much money we're talking about, what it's actually going for. And these were just a few of my suggestions. And they're really kind of informal guidelines that we have among ourselves so that we would know exactly what we're getting into and not just hear about it through grapevine.
Well, I don't know. I still don't have any idea what you're referring to through the grapevine. I don't know that any grants have been applied for without council knowing it.
Well, I thought the department had to come here and stand up in front of us and get permission to apply for a grant so that we know what the matching funds are or any kind of funds or anything. So if none of them have done that, they shouldn't be applying for grants anyway. So,
well, there's a time limit factor there. So, I mean, if they just find out about a grant, like if a fire department grant comes on tomorrow and it's due February 1st, same thing with police department grants. Sometimes you find out about it late,
right.
Just and like earlier in the
week. Now on the stormwater.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, I mean, I think we need to balance. I agree with Emily. We should know about grants.
Right.
We should have a plan for them. Applying doesn't mean you've accepted the grant. Council has to accept them.
For yeah, sure. Before the signing of
right.
The papers.
So, I mean.
We signed the contract.
Yeah, so.
And before any of the funds are obligated.
Well, I don't require a resolution that does come to the council.
Yeah,
DOT, right. You have to have a resolution.
You're not shooting yourself in the foot with this, Emily, because, I mean, you didn't consider that letter you sent to Raleigh a grant application, did you?
What? Oh, no.
The
319. Oh,
gosh. Because we had a telephone conversation and you were under time restraints.
That wasn't it. Well,
I know no grants that have been applied for that Nancy's not drafting and council's not approved.
Well, I mean, so I think guys to the department heads or the committees that they should inform council. I don't want them to delay waiting for us to come by and sign off on the application. That's my concern, right? So I certainly think we should know what people are asking for the town. Because we don't want them to have to re-explain it when they come. They get it, and then we say, no, that doesn't look good. I don't know if that's ever happened. The town said no to a grant, but I don't want us to do that because it ties up for some other time.
I just think it would be good if we knew that, first of all, it was happening, whether or not we have a matching requirement and where those monies would come from, exactly how much we're talking about. Are we talking about a loan we may end up having to pay back to the state that we weren't fully aware of?
That one, you're dead on, yeah. So I mean,
I think it would just be good information for us to have instead of finding out about it in the newspaper or by the very time.
So I mean, the grant process from 08, Nancy didn't get to put my book together, so I don't know where it is in y'all's books, but it was in the book.
I've never seen it.
Okay, well, it was in the packet. I don't know where it is in the book.
No, but the one that was signed by Mac Montgomery.
Yeah, by Mac Montgomery.
It's in there.
Does that kind of meet the requirements that you're looking for?
Yeah, that was pretty well set up back in 2008.
Whatever. But, yeah, I mean, it's in your book there. You guys found. I'm sorry, I wouldn't tell you where it was, but
okay,
I didn't turn my book in. That's
Have you found it?
Yeah, she found it. Yes, Tony, you had a question.
It's everything you wanted to know.
Are you setting up some kind of a rule, like, say, for SLAP? Sometimes we don't know, when Chuck was chairman, he got a call from DOT or Kenyon and said that we're able to get a grant and we have to work on the paperwork, which I did, gave it to him, and he submitted it because they wanted it the next day.
Right, that's like David said, if it's a time restraint, that's what they
But is there anybody that's in town that's working on grants and looking for grants? That sort of like goes on the wayside. I don't know of any person that's looking for grants.
Well, I think definitely the fire department and police chief, they hear about grants and apply for them based on their contacts, right? So Dennis gets a call from, I don't know what her name is now, that says, hey, there's a grant for this and applies for it. And I'm sure fire chief does the same thing.
Yeah, we have an email contacted if it's a grant coming out. We're supposed to be emailed.
So you would get that for Kenwood too?
And I have heard of grants that came available fast track.
Okay.
The one for the stormwater, the Dow Chemical intake, of course, came before council and got permission to pursue it, and I'm still pursuing it. And we have found out there are funds available, and I intend to pursue it, but as soon as they come up, I'll push for it. But those are, like David said, those are contacts like Stu Robbie that call.
And we get that sent to the office, and who gets that information, like Nancy?
Nancy Avery is tracking that.
Oh, okay. So I'll just talk.
She has the application stuff, and she usually has it. There was Nancy.
I know there's no grants out there now, but you never know
right.
From one day to the next.
Yeah, exactly right.
And I don't want to let grant money go. You can help it.
Well, but I think it's certainly fair that just a note from council to the committees and department is that if you're applying for a grant, just email us and tell us what's going on. I think that's certainly reasonable, right?
Yeah.
They definitely can't commit the town to anything.
And so is that all of the
committees know that?
Yeah.
I'll bring it up the next meeting.
Okay. Any other advice? Any other discussion? Okay. Now, Robin, you in the back? Yeah, there you are. Hello, sweetie. We have a young lady here, and Brad, you will both walk up here. We're another gray area. Yeah, we like gray areas. Robin has applied to serve on our marketing committee. Brad and his committee have interviewed her, and they wanted to put her up for this position. And Robin is not a resident of Curie Beach, and one of our committee guidelines was that they have to be a property owner or a resident. Robin, would you step up and let council know what your job is with the aquarium?
Yes, I'm the public relations coordinator for the North Carolina Aquarium at Fort Fisher. I started there on September 1st, and
I was contacted by Brent and to find out about being part of the committee, and the aquarium was certainly committed to Curry Beach and to the areas. Wanted to take part in making this a fantastic destination to come and to be a part of what's going on here.
Brian, would you like to say anything?
Yes. I really think it's important that Curry Beach as a community, you know, we need the aquarium, we love the aquarium, and I'd like to get them involved. I tried to get a committee member from there before, and it didn't work out. When Robin came in, she's got a background in marketing. There's a lot of, well, I won't say a lot, there is some information that the aquarium gets in terms of tracking visitors, where they come from, you know, how long are they here, where they're staying, that we may be able to sort of compile into our own database and have a better idea of you know, target our marketing. We don't have a lot of money as a committee, but I think we do a pretty good job of trying to get, you know, heads in beds.
Let me add to what you just said. I've been liaison to the marketing committee for several years, and we have, without a doubt, the hardest working marketing committee I've ever seen. Before, they were a little lethargic. That's not the case now. You've got some excellent members. And with that being said, under our guidelines for general policy procedures for committees, at the council's discretion, they may waive any policies or procedures. And with that being said, as working with the marketing committee as liaison, the importance of the aquarium, not only as a tourist attraction, but by the waterfronts, I would like to make the motion to waive our policies and procedure in this one exception and permit Robin to serve on the marketing committee as a full member.
Well, is there another way to do this, maybe? Put her on as a liaison? Because I think other committees may want an expert from outside the town. Does it change either one of yours' issue if instead of, you know, you're a committee member, you're the liaison with the aquarium? Or something else. I mean, so what's, does it matter from the committee standpoint or from your standpoint, dedicated to be on it, what you're called on there, really? I'm asking you. I mean, you're a PR person, right? So, you know, this is a PR issue, right?
My title doesn't right. matter to me. Right.
Can she vote? Would she be voting member or not?
Even as a liaison?
Yeah. Would love to have
you. You want her expertise, does it matter? I'm asking you, I don't know.
Well, we, you know, first of all, we don't have 10 people trying to get on the committee.
Right.
We have a hard time getting a quorum from time to time in our meetings.
Okay.
We cannot vote on certain items unless we have a quorum. So I would prefer that she be a voting member. Again, if we had a lot of people wanting to join the committee, you know, I would say that would be a great option.
I have a real problem with it because we would turn down some good people, excellent people. What do we do about those? It's just turned down for the same reason. So it kind of opens up the door about where we, how far it would take us. I mean, I'd love to have it, don't you understand? But we've been through this just last year, and we had to turn down somebody, and we who had lived here for a long time.
Parks and Rec.
Only moved to live?
Yeah, Parks and Rec.
Moved up the road.
Well, outside
Parks and Rec's a statutory committee, though. So that's a little different. This is an ad hoc committee.
And I feel that being part of the aquarium ties her to this community. I mean, that's where she works. So it's not like Joe Blow that lives in Wilmington that would like to come down and be on the committee. But that's...
Well, the expertise factor is why I'm kind of in your favor. I just don't know exactly what we should do.
I'm all for it.
I
want to make sure we don't... what we've done before. Or the future.
Is there something about the marketing committee? I seem to remember that if you own or operate a business in Curie Beach, you can be on there even if you don't live here?
I don't think we're any different than any other ad hoc committee. Well.
Yeah, I think all the ad hoc committees, the property owner can be on.
No, I'm not talking about a property owner. I mean, just for marketing, because in years ago, we were trying to get business people on the committee. And there was something about if you own or operated a business here, you could be on there. This is technically the same thing. When she doesn't own it.
That's kind of, yeah, I agree.
Well, I'm like Chuck. I don't take this lightly, but I hate to lose the expertise that she can bring to the committee. And the committee are really doing a great job. So with that being said.
Maybe just came up with an answer. But yeah. If Parks and Rec is a different committee by the ad hoc committee.
They are a committee who's, and the membership and other things like that are by state statute. Their membership is not by state statute. That's the town's. They have certain guidelines to receive state grants. That's why we implemented the Parks and Recreation Committee. It's a necessary step in receiving any state funding. But we have a motion. So is your motion to change the policy or make an exception?
Make an exception, which is permitted under our policy. That she has counsel, counsel at their discretion can change the policy.
Yep, yeah, okay.
Well, we're making this exception because she works at the aquarium.
That, and she does public relations, and that, and the marketing committee is public relations.
Well, she no longer works at the aquarium.
I would assume that she would no longer serve on the committee. She's no longer tied into the aquarium. If that's where you're coming from with this, just to tap into her expertise as an employee of the aquarium.
Right.
All right. So then your motion is she can serve a 3-year term as long as she's employed at the aquarium.
Yeah.
That's your motion?
Yes.
And I'll second that.
All right. Any more discussion?
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Robin, welcome to the team.
Congratulations. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Brent. Item number 5 is a breakfast meeting with the 3 beach towns. This was the first beach town breakfast meeting we had. Was at Riceville Beach. The 7th was Carolina Beach. And I certainly want to continue the working relationship with the other 2 beach towns, because it's much better when we go to county for any requests if we go as a group. The cost, Nancy's research, and Nancy, you said that you're going to do the coffee, juice, fruit, mm-hmm. and the $150 cost is for
the whole thing. That's
egg, sausage.
That's from the person who's going to cater it, as well as what we're going to buy.
And have you decided on the day yet, or we're still?
No, we'll have to poll, sure, but what you all would like, just let us know, and then we'll poll.
They're usually done on a
Friday
morning.
Mm-hmm.
Was what they've been doing. With that being said, do I have council's motion to appropriate $150? And there'll be some other cost. I'll just change this to $200. That'll cover all your other stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. $200 for this breakfast.
Motion.
And the date, we'll try to discuss this at the appropriate time. All right. We have a motion. Do I have a second?
Do we need to tell you exactly where from in our motion?
You can, at this point, you can take it out of your travel and training budget. After the mandatory training that some of you need to do, you'll still have about $1,250.
Okay. I have a motion. From the travel train. Any other discussion?
Who is the caterer going to be?
I gave you all the prices. You can decide Randy, which one of all those Randy, estimates.
Randy's was $5. The rest of them were $9.
Right.
Okay.
I vote for Randy.
I've never had a bad breakfast there, but
okay. So I can't say that.
I think that man has his hands full right now.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And we appreciate you trying to help us with that. All right.
Can we have a full motion, like including all that stuff, too?
You want another motion, Emily? Would you like to make a motion to
just include
spend $200 out of the travel training budget?
At grand.
For grannies.
For grannies.
Two.
Well, no.
Cater.
So $150 from grannies is $200 total. Yes. That will cover the juice, coffee.
$25.
Yeah.
she use Granny's as the caterer?
Yes.
That's necessary for us to cover, but that's okay. We've never voted on Subway or McDonald's before. So.
That's me coming out of, I think, administration calls. All right. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. And have we decided where this is going to be?
That would be something that I just needed to check either the community center or here. And we should be able to get the community center. The Air Force rec area with 15 people, do you want to? Or actually 20, I guess. 20.
Are they going to charge us for that?
I don't think that they're charging us for the retreat. So I can find that out if you'd rather meet there than the community center.
I don't think the kitchen area is open now. They'd have to open it back up.
Oh, you're talking about the dining area?
No, I was thinking about where we're having the retreat.
Yeah, the National Guard training.
Really nice place.
It's up to you guys.
We can discuss it.
You all want to discuss it at the retreat?
Yeah,
where you want to have it?
See where the kitchen is there.
Okay.
If we can get 20 people in there.
Okay. Because mainly what I need to pull the towns for is the date that they, who can meet when and try to come up with a date. And then we'd have to find the place. So it's finding the date first before we can actually find which place.
Okay. We'll discuss that. Thank you, Nancy.
Okay.
Item number 6. In your packet, you're going to find some stuff that New Hanover County hazardous waste collection is going to be March 31st at the airport. And with discussions with the county, and David, this again, I'm going to kind of fall on your shoulders to work with other works. And my brainstorm came up with, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be that much hazardous waste. It's going to be computers and things like that and whatnot. But my suggestion would be to work with Sonny, advertise this, have one of the one-ton trucks up here that's available to load it on from our residents only, and then take the truck up here to the collection site on the Saturday morning, and they would have to do a budget amendment or overtime pay or something to let the two fellows with the trucks up there and help the county. It would be our in-kind contribution and get rid of all this stuff down here one trip.
Mm-hmm.
And with that said, any other suggestions or will?
Could I ask the two ladies that are here, when we had the women come and talk to us about recycling, wasn't there something about Wednesday morning? There is some place you can go to let off anything that has a plug on it?
Yes, at the landfill, you can go there.
The landfill out on 421?
I do believe that is the spot.
Okay, so
Because usually computers aren't what they're looking for. Computers can be sent to a different
computers
area.
Computers at this juncture are worth some money because they actually take the mainframes, melt that down, put it in blocks, and all it goes to platinum recycle.
Right.
So now they'll take there. Anybody wants computers.
Oh, so they're wanting that at this hazardous waste.
Well, this is hazmat, and there's a list in your packet of what is available. And I would like to advertise that on the website, make sure this is for Cary residents only.
Like paint and all. And
paint and oil and that sort of thing.
And then if any of our residents should ask, there is this thing available on Wednesday morning where you can take a computer, a toaster, a television, whatever you want.
I'll double check that and get that information to you. But yeah, that's ongoing every week.
They do that once a year, but this is not this.
You
I
can't
thought
take paint to this.
That's not what I read.
No, there's three things. One of them is paint. Believe me, I tell you. I know. I got a bunch of it.
Yeah.
I cannot get rid of it.
Me too.
All right. What's council's wishes? They wanted the financial contribution, but I think if we were to donate the in-kind labor through the.
Well, they're asking for the labor.
Yeah, that the financial contribution, unless we wanted to send some water or juice or something like that there. But as far as just cutting a check for what we're paying the county tax, I'm not too keen on that.
So, can you get the list of what they won't accept?
It's in,
No, it says some of the things we won't accept, but it has a full list.
Oh. And when we advertise it, we need to put that list out.
Right, okay,
and then
sure.
Sonny's guys, we need to have that list there so y'all yep. get it on the truck to drive all the way up there and back. Mm-hmm. So what it sounded like you asked me is to talk to Sonny about having two guys on March 31st. Do it from, what, 7 to like 10 or 11, and then they drive up there. And
yeah, I would like to give the residents like a one-week period to get this stuff, but it needs the truck needs to be where it can be monitored.
Yeah, I don't want to do it for 1 week. Well, that'll be a big mess, because we'll get stuff on the list on the truck. So I'd rather them be able to do it that morning than we drive up at lunchtime.
All right.
And let the guys, if we don't work that much up there, that's probably better. We'll still pay overtime for two guys.
Yeah. The council has to consider that then we'll be overtime pay on Saturday. We have a guy on call with that.
Yeah.
What's council's wish?
It won't hurt my Sonny's budget probably. If it does, we'll find out later in the year. I don't think one day of two guys with other issues we've had. I mean, Arlen can tell us better, but it won't.
Yeah, well, it's all season. It's not during the tour season, so that's the best thing.
It should be a significant impact.
Exactly right. So is that council's wishes? I'll talk to Sonny about that and let you know if there's any issues.
Thanks.
And
Nancy, can you get with the county and make sure we have a complete list of what we all want to
have? Yes, Lynn Bestool is who sent it, but she offered to send the full list. We just need to know before we advertise it.
Okay. Good.
All right. Mr. Keener, you're up.
I think you all read the letter that's in there. Beach Protection Committee is wanting to send this letter out to all the HOA presidents. If I read it to that one, I decided it should be handed one out like that to be approved by council. So that's why it's there.
Do you want this on the town station?
Actually, Nancy called me. I should say, Nancy Hughes called me.
Do you want this on the town stationery?
No. I think they're going to send it out themselves, I believe.
You don't want your town seal on it?
You read it, you tell me.
Well, I mean, if you just going to, if council agrees to it and they're going to take it, I think, a little bit more serious, and I think the letter itself is, you know, well within the guidelines of that committee, I'd rather, if we want to send it out, there's a town seal on it.
You all approve that? I'm all for it.
And that will let them know it's come before council, it's our wishes that they help with it. Question the letter that you drafted. Council?
I'll make that motion.
A motion to accept the letter as written, to send it to the HOA on the town area.
I'm on the plan.
All in
so favor. Who signed it? Are you easy?
Sorry?
Or are you letting Kerry sign it?
Yeah, that's.
I'll have those signatures on it. It's agreeable to council.
She's not even the chairman.
No, she's not the chairman. It should be signed by the mayor if the council's.
Right.
Well, still getting our
member of it? Since she's not chairman.
Oh, yeah.
They just had her write it?
Yeah.
They just had her write it.
Phyllis is chairman, is she?
She's co-chair.
Co-chair?
Andy Barnhart.
Andy and Phyllis.
She's out of town.
All right. So we ask them, they say no, we don't care, right?
Right.
Okay.
We're just asking, hopefully they'll cooperate.
Okay.
And they're willing to go talk to them about it. I have some questions on myself, like the waste can. So is it on the beach? I mean, they're trying to protect the beach. Are they going to be trying to put it on the beach and bring it back up? You know, or it's like in our case of Curious Village, we have waste cans that are at on the beach. This is a parking lot.
Parking lot. Yeah.
So there's some questions.
Well, the steps, and unless it's a handicap access, they can go off the beach and bring it back on the apartment.
But if it was on the beach, would it be sunny pick up?
Yeah, sunny pick up.
No, not private. No, it won't. What? You don't pick up private cans
right.
on the beach.
Because
you don't deal with the trash.
But if it's on the beach, it's public. It's on the public beach. It's not.
Right, so I don't know if you can leave one on there or not.
They do that on the beach access or something?
Yeah, that's because they're public property. So if we have an ordinance to take stuff off the beach, because I know the lifeguards enforce it during the summer, right? Because I see it all piled up at the firehouse. So I don't know if a private can stay on the beach like that. And then if it's there, I don't think Sonny's going to use the gator to pick it up unless we tell him to. Because then everyone will put one of their public beach access and it'll triple his labor.
Why don't you ask him about that?
And table this and do it.
Like I said, then see if he would do it. They'll have to explain that when they talk to him.
David, you could.
Several things.
All right, I'll just make sure Sonny comes.
So do I have a motion to table this until we get some input from Sonny?
Yes.
Chuck?
A motion to table this until we get input.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye. All right, we'll table that and get Sonny's input on that and make sure it's workable. I don't think we have a necessity to go into...
Now that we have this new policy on traveling, there is a meeting that the county has invited us to that has to do with white space, and I can't explain to you what it is because I don't know, and that's why we'd like to go to the meeting so I can find out more about it, especially since New Hanover County is the first one to be doing this. Is there a problem with that?
You're going to apply, you're going to try to be, your travel expenses incurred will be your mileage? Because I'm planning on going, but I'm not going to turn
it in. I haven't done anything, I haven't turned in anything yet this year, so I don't care. No need to start anything.
Yeah, I'm planning on going, but if you don't, if it's your money, it doesn't
matter. I can ride with you.
There you go.
There you go. I'll get you one.
I'll get you there quick.
Anybody else coming?
What day are you leaving? I want to be out there.
You gonna sell tickets?
I'm going to go to the next one.